would like to ask you this morning to please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, encourage you to look at God's holy word as we try to study this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'd like to begin reading with the 9th verse and read through verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, and reading through verse 15. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege to call upon the one true and living God, the one who is our Father, the one who loves us so much that thou didst send thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the magnitude of your love for us. We know that we can't even begin to comprehend how much you love us, but we do thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love, giving us the assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we're kept by the power of God. We thank you, Lord, for saving us from eternal hell to the eternal heaven, but we also thank you that while we live here in this world, that we can experience fellowship with you every day. Though one day we're going to go up and be with you, that right now you come down and you dwell with us here. We're thankful that we can feel thy presence with us this day. We pray that you would help us to hear the word of God and understand it, believe it, and obey it. We pray that thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Lord, we thank you for protecting so many during this past week. We thank you especially for sparing lives during all the fires that we've been experiencing. Thank you, Lord, for sparing the lives of all those firemen and all the other firefighters that you've been with them. And thank you, Lord, for your protective hedge round about them. Thank you for their hard work and their labor. And we pray that you would bless that they do, that it would be for the good of thy people, and that you would help them and give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge, as well as protection every day. Lord, we thank you for sparing so many homes. We thank you for just blessing in so many different ways that we can't begin to thank you enough for all the blessings of this past week. And we ask you now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we beg you, Lord, to please send rain on the earth. We need rain. We need for you to water the earth. We can't, though we put out sprinklers and we do everything else that we can't water the ground. We ask you, Lord, to send rain from heaven that would water the earth, and send rain from heaven that would put out the fire. We pray that you would send the winds in the right direction to stop the fire, and you would just speak the word, and that the fire would cease. Just, Lord, bless us all and help us that we might realize every day how good you are in our lives. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We do beg thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that thou art the great physician, and we ask you to touch and bless and heal and lift up those that are downcast, discouraged, and despondent. Whether their problems are physical, mental, or spiritual, we pray that you would bless all of your children, Lord, the world over. We pray that you would bless those that are in great pain this day, that you would help them. We continue to beg you to bless not only those who are sick, but bless the families of those who are sick. Give them the strength and grace and patience that they need as they wait upon their loved ones. Bless the doctors and nurses. Give them wisdom and understanding, and give them compassion as they work with those that they work with. Again, now help us this day. Bless all those who have special burdens and problems. Bless all the unspoken prayer requests. Bless us now and comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9 and reading through verse 15. The Word of God says, "For we are laborers." Brethren, that's important for all of us to understand, is that God has not just saved us from our sins, but that God has called every one of us to be a worker or a laborer, not just to work at a job somewhere to provide for our families, but God has called all of His people to be workers and to be laborers. We need to be, you remember how Jesus made this statement, even when he was a young boy. He said, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus was busy even as a young boy. And all of us ought to be busy. We need to be working. We need to be laboring. We need to understand that sometimes we're too busy laboring in things other than the things God would have us to be laboring in. And Paul's talking right here not about just working to provide for your families, but he's talking about the work that God has for His people to do in His kingdom. So it says we are laborers together with God. That means that you can't do anything without God. We can't labor. We can't do anything that's really constructive without God's help. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Who is that foundation? Yes, I have established that Jesus Christ is the foundation. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You remember when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, He told him exactly how to build the tabernacle. Listen, brethren, we have to take heed how we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Take heed how ye build thereupon. We have to do things exactly the way that God tells us to do it, even if it doesn't make sense to us. Even if we think there's a better way, we'd better always take heed how we build on the foundation. So He says, take heed that every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. The main thought that's on my heart, as we talk about laboring and we talk about building on this foundation and talk about how we need to take heed how we build on that foundation, I want us to understand especially verse 12. Look carefully in the Word of God at 12 through 15. Verse 12 says, or verse 13 rather. Well, no, 12. Verse 12 says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones," now those first three are different than the last three he's going to list. He says, "If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones," then he says, "wood, hay, stubble." He says in verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." Now I want you to listen carefully to that. We better take heed how we build on this foundation. We better take heed about what we build on this foundation. Because every man's work, you notice that in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Did you know it's going to be seen? It's going to be made known. It's going to be made manifest what it is and how it is that I have built on this foundation. And then he tells us how it's going to be manifest. He says in the latter part, or the middle of that verse, he says, "It shall be revealed," that is, the work that you do, what you build and how you build on that foundation, "it shall be revealed by" what? What's the next word? "It shall be revealed by fire." It shall be revealed by fire. Now, let me just first say that I think that fire, I know there's a lot of different reasons that fire has been on my mind this week, but probably the main reason is because of all the fires we have around us. Now, the fire that we're talking about right here could be a natural fire, but the fire, that's not the main thing that's talked about. But did you know that even the fire that we have raging around us, did you know it manifests what kind of works we've been having in our lives? And by that, what I mean is this. I have heard people say, I heard one man that has lost hundreds of acres of timber to this fire. I heard him make this statement. He said, "I am so thankful that God has been merciful and gracious to me." Now, the man has lost probably more money-wise than almost anybody else in this fire. But I'm telling you, he's thankful. He said, "I'm thankful God spared my home and God spared my family." Now, do you know what that tells me? It tells me that he understands the mercy and the grace of God. It tells me that He knows the sovereign God of heaven and earth. It tells me that though He may not be perfect, He has done many things right, because in the midst of the fire, what is He doing? He's giving glory to God. Though He's lost much, He's still praising God and honoring God and glorifying God. And I think that's the greatest blessing I've seen in all that we've been through with all these fires, is to hear the firemen and all the other people that are working out there to be talking about God's protective hedge that's been round about them. You know what that shows us? That shows us there's something inside those people that know that God is their salvation. Last week we tried to preach about show forth day by day His salvation, and show forth His salvation day by day. Listen, brethren, God has been pouring out His salvation on us every day this past week. And we need to thank the Lord for it. Fires are raging all around us. Did you know that what we're experiencing is minimal, it's minor compared to what we could be experiencing right now? And we need to be praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. I'm not minimizing the fires. Listen, brethren, Brother Chief Jimmy Brown and others have told me this is the worst fire they've ever seen in their life. There are national people that say this is the worst fire they've ever seen in their life. They say they have never seen a fire spread as quickly as these fires are spreading. Chief Brown told me this past week, he said, Brother Bill, he said, I watched 100 acres burn in 3 minutes. He said, you can't comprehend 100 acres burning in 3 minutes' time. Now, does that tell you something about the destructive force of fire? Does that tell you how fire is a lesson that God has given us in His Word that we ought to listen to and pay particular attention to? We need to thank God that we understand something. I understand more about fire now than I ever have. And when I read the Word of God from now on, I know that in this week when I've read and studied about fire, my heart's been touched more, and I see more in God's Word about fire than I've ever seen before. And we need to understand the destructive force of fire. But we also need to understand that fire, God's Word says here, fire is used to manifest what kind of works we have in our lives. Fire will manifest whether or not you trust in God. Fire will manifest whether or not you have confidence in God. Fire will manifest whether or not you really love God. Fire will manifest what kind of works you've been building in your lives. Whether those works have been gold and silver and precious stone, what happens when fire comes to gold? Does it destroy the gold? No, it does nothing but purify. It's better. And listen, brethren, I believe there are people that are better today as a result of the fires that we've had. I've watched people join together. I've watched people stand together. I've watched people help each other. I've watched people volunteer. Not only all the different firemen that volunteered and have come down here, but listen, brethren, I've watched so many people behind the scenes that have been working and laboring and giving and doing and sacrificing. You know what it's proving? The fires are proving what kind of works are in those people's lives. The fires are proving what kind of building they're doing in their lives. And we need to realize every man's work will be revealed by fire. You might say, well, I came through this one real good. Well, just fasten your seatbelt, because if we're not building the right things, you won't come through the next one. You and I, as God's people, we need to fall on our knees and thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Did you know God's been merciful and gracious to me and everybody in this building? God's been good to us. He's been gracious to us. What does this verse say? That God will try every man's work. Now, I want us this morning, well, let me go on and read verses 14 and 15, and then we'll come back. Let me read 13 through 15, and then we'll come back. Verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is God going to try your works? How is He going to try it? By what? By fire. Did you know that you can substitute, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but I believe you can see this as you study God's Word and as we go along this morning. Did you know that you can substitute God for fire right here? Let's go back and look at that. Because what I'm showing you, what I want to show you is that God, that fire, listen carefully, fire is often symbolic of God Himself. You remember that Moses was up on the mountain and he saw a burning fiery bush? And did you know he heard God speaking to him out of that fiery bush? That fire represented God. The Word of God says in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. Now you go back and look at this verse again. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Who is it that's going to reveal what kind of works you've had? God. That's right. God. It's going to be revealed by fire. It's going to be revealed by God. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Can you substitute God and say, God shall try every man's work? Listen, brethren, God is the one who tries our works, and He tries our works by fire. Verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What's that telling us? It's telling us that if we've been building gold, silver, precious stones, if we've been building the right kind of things and building the right kind of way, your work will what when the fire comes? Your work will, what's the word used in verse 14? Your work will what? Say it again.
Abide.
Your work will abide if you've been building in the right way in your life. Your work will abide and you will receive what? You'll receive a reward. Now verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned. Are there a lot of works that have been burned? Are there houses that have been burned? Are there buildings? Are there barns that have been burned? Are there many things that have been burned? A lot of timber that's been burned. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen, brethren, does God save us? And can we be saved by fire? Did you know the same fire that destroys some people can save other people? There are some people that as a result of this fire are very angry with God. There are other people that as a result of this fire are very thankful to God. There's a major difference in the way people react when calamities come in their lives. There are some people that their confidence is so strong in God that they built the right thing on the foundation and they built gold and silver and precious stone, and the fire comes, calamities come, trials come, tribulations come. And what happens when all those things come in their lives? They're faithful to God and they endure, and the work abides because their confidence is in God. But there are other people that when the fires, tribulations, the trials and the problems of life come, that they crumble and they fall and they're consumed by the fire and they're burned, yet they are saved by that fire. They're delivered. Listen, brethren, there have been times in my life I have built wood, hay, and stubble in my life. You know what God's done? He's come along and burned it. And I suffered, that's what it says, it suffered loss. A man suffers loss. Talking about going, is this fire talking about eternal hell when you die? Absolutely not. It's not talking about eternal hell when you die. It's talking about God's people building and being laborers, and whether or not we build the right things on Jesus Christ will determine whether or not our works abide, whether we receive a reward, or whether we suffer. What's the word there? We suffer loss. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Have you ever been saved from the error of your way by God sending fire in your life? Have you ever been on the wrong track? God, and I'm not talking right now about literal fire. You understand this is primarily symbolic that we're talking about. And God sends fiery trials. That's what I want to talk about first of all, is that God sends fiery trials in our lives. Go with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Please turn in your Bibles there. And I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Word of God talks here about how we have trouble. We have fiery problems in our lives. In fact, let me go forward in 1 Peter. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 first, and then we'll come back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and listen, please, to verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're talking about fires. We're talking about we're laborers. We're talking about how we better be careful how we build, and what we build, and what we build on. And the Word of God says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, look at your Bibles, please, and listen. 1 Peter 4, 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the," what's the next word there? "The fiery trial which is to try you." Does that say it's going to come? It's going to come. What did 1 Corinthians 3:13 say? "Every man's work shall be made manifest. It will be revealed by fire." What does Peter say here? "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Not that it may try you. Not that some of God's people are going to have this fire. But this fiery trial, now is there a difference? Let me just pause right here. Is there a difference in fiery trials and fiery judgments? Listen carefully. Is there a difference in fiery trials and fiery judgments? Yes, there is a major difference in fiery trials and fiery judgments. A fiery trial comes in the lives of God's obedient children. It doesn't matter whether you build gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether you build wood, hay, and stubble, the fires are going to come. But when you've been building gold, silver, and precious stones, your work is going to abide, and you're going to receive a reward. But when you've been building, and there have been times in my life I've been building, and sometimes I do that every day, I build wood, hay, and stubble, and when the fire comes, what happens to my work? It's burnt up. It's proven. It's made manifest. What I did was not for the right purpose. What I did not really please God. Have you ever known that in your life? You know, you can do good things and it not please God at all. Because you don't do it for the right purpose and in the right spirit and all that. If you do it to be seen of men, you've already had your reward. Think it not strange. Oh, when fiery trials come, do we think it's strange? We do, don't we? You know why Peter was inspired by God to say these words? Because he knew, God knew, we would think it was strange when we had fiery trials. He knew that God's people that were serving God, that were trying to obey God and fear God and love God, he knew that when fiery trials came, they would say, "Oh Lord, why? Why is this happening?" Listen, brethren, Peter says, don't think it strange when fiery, what? Are we talking about fiery judgments or fiery trials right here? Listen, the difference in fiery judgments and fiery trials is that fiery trials come in the lives of God's obedient children. And fiery judgments come in the lives of God's disobedient children. The chastening hand of God comes like fire sometimes. But right now we're not talking about fiery judgments. What are we talking about? Fiery what? Trials. Fiery trials. And Peter says, don't think it strange about fiery trials which is to try you. He says, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Listen, brethren, we ought to be rejoicing when fiery trials come. You remember how Jesus, when He began in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, about verse 12, 11, He says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." That's the same thing Peter is saying here. He says, when you have those fiery trials, you rejoice. He says, rejoice because when Christ's glory is revealed, you also are going to be experiencing that glory. And you'll experience it with exceeding, what's the last word in that? In that 13th verse, 1 Peter 4:13, what's the last word? Exceeding what? Exceeding joy. What is the kingdom of heaven? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about experiencing. Now, go with me back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, listen please to verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, Though now for a season, is he talking about being happy? Can you be happy in the midst of your troubles and problems? You know, I know some people that are on their deathbeds today that are giving glory to God. That are praising God. They know they're dying, but they're giving glory to God. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about going home to be with Jesus. Are they going through some fiery trials? What kind of works do they have on those, on the foundation? They have gold and silver and precious stone. They've built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You know who's holding them up while they're on their deathbeds? Jesus is right there with them. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not he's going to be my shepherd. The Lord right now today. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd today? The Lord will be your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And you need to thank the Lord he is your shepherd. But now a shepherd does two things. A shepherd feeds the sheep. He comforts the sheep. You know what else the shepherd does when the sheep don't do what's right? They take a rod and they correct those sheep. And what does David say? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, why is it comforting to ever experience the rod of God? Why is it comforting that sometimes God does come and burn away the dross in your life? It's comforting because I know God loves me. Listen, brethren, when God chastens me, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. If you've ever experienced the fiery chastening hand of God, you know it is not pleasant, but you also know it is somewhat comforting to know God does love me because God chastens me. You know, there are a lot of children today, they don't know whether or not the parents love them or not, because the parents let them do anything they want to, and they don't care. They'll let them go, they'll let them live any way they want to, and there's no restraining hand there. Listen, brethren, if you don't discipline your children, you do not love your children. Love and discipline are inseparable. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The Word of God in the book of Proverbs makes it clear, if a man doesn't chasten his son, he does not love his son. The Bible says, if any child goes astray, you're to take the rod and use that rod on that child. Modern day psychology has destroyed a lot of parents because they don't understand that God's Word is true and every man is a liar when they contradict the Word of God. A church that loves her members, you know what she has to do? Listen, brethren, if you're a parent, my daddy used to say this. This hurts me more than it does you. Did any of you ever have a mom or daddy that said that, that didn't have one? Okay. How many of you had parents that said, this hurts me more than it does you? My daddy said that. Every time he would say, this hurts, and I often would think, let's trade places. I wanted to just take the belt and wear him out. I wanted to just let him know that he was wrong. Let me tell you something. When I started having children, I began to know what he was talking about. It does hurt a loving parent. It hurts that parent more than it hurts the child that's being spanked. But it's for their good, isn't it? It's for their good. Listen now to first, and I'm going to close right here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through what? What's the last two words there? You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know what manifold temptations are? That's the same thing as multitudes of troubles. It's the same thing as many trials. It's the same. You can just fill in a lot of different things there. But listen, brethren, he says you're in heaviness. That means you're suffering. Because of the manifold temptations. Some of you in this building have been going through some manifold temptations. Some hard troubles. Some major troubles. Trouble on top of trouble on top of trouble. And listen, brethren, when you are serving God and trying to be faithful to God, you will have many trials. You'll have fiery trials. But listen, here's what God will do. God will bring you through. God will bring you through. And that's what he says right here. He says, though right now you're going through manifold temptations and you're in heaviness right now, look at the next verse. He says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, you know what all these manifold temptations are? If you're trying to serve God, you know what these manifold temptations are? they're trials of your faith. Is there a difference in trials of your faith, fiery trials, versus fiery chastening that comes because of disobedience? Major difference. So he says here, though, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You remember back there in 1 Corinthians 13 what he says? You can build on that foundation, you can build three things that are good. What did he call them? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or you can build wood, hay, and stubble. Did you know a lot of people, they don't care about God. A lot of people are working hard. Now, are they laboring? Are they working hard? There are many people that are working hard. There are many children of God who are working hard. But you know what they're building? You know what they're building? Wood, hay, and stubble. You know what God's Word tells me will happen in every child of God's life? You know what will happen? 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, every man's work shall be tried by fire. It's going to be revealed whether what you're building is gold, silver, and precious stones, or what you're building is wood, hay, and stubble. And if you've been building gold, silver, and precious stones, when those fiery trials come, you're going to endure. Your work will abide, and you will receive a reward. That's what 1 Corinthians 3:14 says. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, but if you've been building that wood, hay, and stubble, if you've been building things that are not spiritual, if the focus of your life is on this world instead of things above, you've been building wood, hay, and stubble, you're going to suffer life, suffer loss. Your works are going to be burned up, and you're going to suffer loss, yet you will be saved by what? Saved by fire. May God help us to understand His Word. You know, I'll just mention this in closing. You know what Job said? Did Job have manifold temptations? Did Job have fiery trials? Was Job, you know, when Job lost all of his possessions, all of his possessions, when he lost all that, did he still trust in the Lord? When Job, after he lost all of his possessions, and then a whirlwind came, I tell you, that devil was working and doing everything he could to destroy Job, get Job to curse God. That whirlwind came and all 10 of his children died in one day. I'll tell you, that was some manifold temptation. Those were some fiery trials. You know what Job did? Job fell down on his knees and worshiped God and said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that man did last Saturday night when he stood up and talked about all the hundreds of acres that he'd had burned, but he was giving glory to God. He was saying, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If my house burns, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in your life, if I get cancer and I spend the rest of my life suffering severely, let me tell you something. If I've been building gold and silver and precious stone, my confidence will remain in God. That gives glory to God when a man's work abides through the fire. May God help us to live through and shine brightly through the fire. After Job experienced all that loss, even his wife said, and listen, after he lost all his possessions, his 10 children, his health was gone, then the Word of God says, his wife said, curse God and die. You know what Job finally said? Job even reached a point when he couldn't find God. Job 23, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, I see God working in front of me, behind me, on the left hand, the right hand, but I can't find God. Here's what he said. But I know this. I know that when He's through with me, I'm going to come forth as, what did he say? Gold tried in the fire. He was going to come forth as gold. Oh, brethren, it's a wonderful thing that we have a God who loves us so much that He judges us by fire and He tests us by fire. May God help us to realize the seriousness of serving and not serving God is my prayer for Christ's sake.